Good morning. Welcome to worship today at St. Mark's as we gather today to celebrate a very significant milestone in our congregation, the 50th anniversary of St. Mark's Lutheran Church. The theme for our anniversary celebration this year has been on the front of our service booklets all year long underneath the clip art of our church's picture. That theme is founded on the Word and focused on the cross. That describes St. Mark's Lutheran Church for the past 50 years, a congregation founded on the Word of God that focuses on Jesus Christ and his cross and what he has done for us. That theme will also serve as the focus for our services today. The first phrase, founded on the Word, which is underlined on your service booklet cover today, is the emphasis in these morning services today. The second phrase, focused on the cross, will be the emphasis in our special afternoon service at 4 o'clock today, to which we invite you to return later this afternoon. We are privileged to have with us two former St. Mark's pastors to lead worship today. Pastor Ron Waterstrat, who served us for 25 years, will be our presiding minister. Pastor Bill Tackmeyer, who is now Professor Tackmeyer at Wisconsin Lutheran Seminary and who served us for 14 years, will be our guest preacher this morning. After the opening hymn, please follow the order of worship that you'll find printed in the service booklet with the green cover that you received as you entered the church today. Come, let us worship the Lord.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you.
And also with you.
Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call on his name. Make known his deeds among the people. Sing to him. Sing praises to him. Tell of all his wonderful works.
The works of the Lord are great and glorious. His name is worthy of praise.
O Father, most holy, gather us together in the name of Jesus, whom the saints and angels adore as the Lamb on his throne, and whose name is above every name, that all we do might be done at your bidding, filled with your grace, directed by your wisdom, informed by your truth, accomplished to your glory.
The works of the Lord are great and glorious. His love endures forever.
O Father, most gracious, Bring us together in the name of Jesus, that in him we might be a spiritual temple, that founded on him we might be built together as living stones, that in him we might offer to you the spiritual service of praise and thanksgiving, of lives lived in your love, of proclaiming your words and work, of sharing your gifts to us.
The works of the Lord are great and glorious. Tell of all his wonderful deeds.
Let us pray. O God, you have promised to be with your church forever. We thank you for those who have founded St. Mark's Lutheran Church and for the signs of your favor over these past 50 years. Increase our faith, knit us together in the bonds of love, and make our fellowship an example to all people. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Day for memories, but not that one. The first lesson of today's service on this 50th anniversary of St. Mark's congregation is written in the second chapter of Paul's letter to the Christians at Ephesus. He uses this wonderful picture of the church of the New Testament as the temple of the old, the presence of Jesus Christ. We are his body. The first lesson will be the text for Pastor Tackmeyer's sermon. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. This is the word of the Lord.
Praises of God the Father.
We stand for the words of Jesus. The Holy Gospel is written in the 7th chapter of the Gospel according to St. Matthew. Jesus' parable is addressed to people as individuals. What are you going to build your life on? But it is appropriate also on this day of corporate remembrance that the congregation, as our lives, be built on solid rock, Jesus Christ. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. This is the Gospel of the Lord. Join in the hymn of the day, hymn number 621.
May the Holy Spirit work powerfully in our hearts this morning to build us up on this festive day. Our sermon text for this 50th anniversary of St. Mark's is the lesson for today from Ephesians chapter 2. You can follow along as we meditate on this text. It's on page 6 in your worship folder. Dear fellow believers, it's hard to believe that this all used to be golden Central Valley grass, dotted only by valley oaks, as it still is out in the country. A lot has happened since the first Europeans came here in the 1500s. They unleashed a stream of people that has grown into a tide of humanity that has come to us from every nation on earth. California is the prime example of the melting pot that America has always prided itself on being. None of us really belong here. It's not our home. It's not where we're from. Even those of us who have lived here for generations, we are, as the Apostle Paul says in our sermon text for today, foreigners and aliens. The Apostle Paul, when he wrote these words, was not talking about people who came from a foreign country, though. He was talking about people who were once not part of the people of God. They were people who were alienated from God. They had only recently become part of the family of Jesus Christ. But he says, "You are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household." Paul was talking about the Gentiles, the people who had grown up not knowing about the God of the Jews. But through his preaching, he had shown them that God is a God of love. He is a God who sent his own Son into human flesh to reconcile all peoples to himself, to remove from them the alienation that they were experiencing from God. The church is people. As we celebrate the 50th anniversary of St. Mark's Lutheran Church today, it's very important for us to understand that the church is not a building. The church is people. It is the people who gather together in the building to worship their Lord on every Lord's Day. And in today's sermon, we're going to see that this church of people is built on an unmovable foundation. We are built on the foundation of Christ and his word. This church cannot change. And yet, at the same time, it's always changing. Its exterior is always undergoing additions so that in each generation it's formed by different people. There are always people who are being added to this church. Paul says, "You are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. The church is people, and even its foundations are made up of people, very crucial people. The apostles and prophets, he says. Before God sent his Son into the world, he sent prophets to proclaim to the people what the coming Savior would be like. Those prophets received visions and revelations from God, in which they saw in great detail what the Savior would do someday when God sent him. The prophet Isaiah, for instance, 700 years before Jesus came, received visions that showed him the very crucifixion of Jesus. He could see it as if it were unfolding right in front of him. In 53 of his prophecy, he writes about the servant of the Lord who suffered. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. There is no clearer depiction of what Jesus would do for us than these marvelous foretellings, these prophecies from hundreds of years before he ever came. And yet, to reassure us, God sent some people to follow Jesus too. Some people who would be able to describe for us exactly how it happened. His followers, his apostles, got to hear the word from Jesus' own mouth, got to see the saving deeds that he carried out. Jesus' closest disciple, John, reassures us at the beginning of his first letter to the church that he saw and he heard and he touched Jesus. He says, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, and we have looked at, and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life." These men, both the prophets and the apostles, point us to Jesus. Their writings exist for no other purpose than so that you and I can see Jesus and so that we can build our lives on him. Jesus is where it all comes together, where everything intersects: God and humans, sin and grace, despair and ecstasy, the punishment of hell, and the opening of heaven. Jesus is the cornerstone, Paul says. In the old days, when they were building important buildings, they would always start with the cornerstone. It was a huge, massive stone that was carved with perfectly right angles. They were very careful where they would place it, because that was going to be the first corner of that building. Once the cornerstone was laid, the master builder would get down on his hands and knees, and at the most important corner, he would eye up where that wall was going to be. He'd have his assistants put a string from the corner flush right along that carved side of the cornerstone and off into the distance. That's where all the stones of the foundation of that wall would stand. Then he would get down on the other side of that corner, and he would eye up and put the line where that row of foundation stones was going to go. And each wall, every dimension of the building as it rose, would be oriented from that cornerstone. Jesus is our cornerstone. He is the person who started it all. He is the person on whom our lives must be built. The master builders knew that if a wall was not perfectly straight, if it had a bow in it or a wrinkle somewhere, that would be the spot that would first begin to crumble once the building got old. So he wanted to make sure that his foundation walls were perfectly straight. None of us has ever been able to stand up on our own. Born into this world with our own sinful flesh already against us, we cannot stand according to God's holy demands. So God sent his son Jesus, the only person he knew who could ever live the perfect life. In our place, Jesus lived that perfect life. Jesus kept all of God's holy demands for us. And now when we build our lives on him, when we believe in him, then we become a church that stands forever. I used to have a poster hanging in my office when the offices were still in the back of this building. It was a picture of the church with the highest steeple in the world. It's a Lutheran church in Ulm, Germany. It's made completely of stone. And the steeple rises 530 feet into the air. One day, Chuck Klinker came into my office. Chuck knows about buildings. And he said to me, "Did you know that there's nothing holding that church together except gravity?" I guess before that, I always naively thought that mortar holds the stones together. But Chuck said, "No, it's the builder who knows just where to place each stone so that as you rise in the layers, all of the weight comes bearing down on the foundation. Gravity is the only thing that holds a stone church together." That was amazing to me. I looked closer at that picture after he pointed that out to me, and I began to notice the individual stones in the church. I noticed how some of them were slightly different colors than others. The ones on the bottom were much more weathered than the ones on the top. I became intrigued, and I Googled it, and I discovered that it took them over 500 years to finish that church. From the day the cornerstone was laid until the day that they put the top stone on the very pinnacle of the steeple, it took them over 500 years. For generations, they were building that church. What a beautiful illustration of the church of Christ. It's always being built. Generation after generation, it's being added to. With each generation, the previous generation tells them the Word of God, points to Jesus, and then the next layer is solidly placed on top of them. It's not the generations that go before us that hold us up. All of the weight is being distributed down onto the foundation, unto the word that those prophets and apostles wrote by inspiration of God. All of the orientation of that church is going back to Jesus Christ and what he has done for us. Gradually over the generations, the Holy Spirit is taking each one of us, brick by brick, stone by stone, and he's building us into that marvelous edifice that keeps rising up to heaven. When I would teach Bible information class here at St. Mark's, I would always use this illustration. This was the most recent pictorial directory at the time when I first came here as a pastor. And I would say, in the lesson where I was teaching about the church, I would say, this is not St. Mark's Lutheran Church. This is St. Mark's Lutheran Church. It's the people who have been built on to the foundation of Christ and his word. Paul goes on in this text and says, in Christ, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. The church is a building whose exterior is always undergoing additions. There are some of you here today that I don't recognize, even though I've been only gone 5 years. The church is always undergoing additions. Oh, I know that we live in terrible times today. The Church of Christ is facing many challenges. There are many fears about what the future holds. But I was reminded just the other day again that when facing challenges, it's always best to focus on the blessings. Though the terrorists think they can exterminate the Christian church by beheading its members, the church lives on. Even those who are killed, they go on to a different place in the church, to a much better place in heaven. They live on. Though Hollywood has been trying to turn our families into the Kardashians, whoever they are, we still understand that a family is made up of one man and one woman who have been bound together by God for life, and who, if the Lord blesses them, are given the gift of children. Though there are many branches of the Christian church that have gone off on all kinds of weird tangents, the pure gospel has never been stamped out by anyone. We still are allowed to meet whenever and wherever we choose to hear that precious word, to let the Holy Spirit work through that word. No one can stop that word. The church is eternal. 50 years is really a very short period of time in the thousands of years of history of the Christian church. The church has weathered many storms in the past. It has always existed since the time of Adam and Eve, in spite of Adam and Eve. The church has continued to stand, even when everyone abandoned Jesus in his hour of need. The church continues to stand because of what Jesus has done. My dear friends at St. Mark's, rest on your cornerstone. As you move forward, continue to build on that foundation of the prophets and the apostles. Get your orientation from Jesus, your starting point. Build on that foundation, and then the next 50 years will be just as richly blessed as were the last 50. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. We confess our Christian faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Thank you.
to pray. O God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come, at this anniversary, we reflect on your past help and are encouraged in our hope for the future. We praise you for keeping and sustaining your people throughout the ages and for preserving the preaching of your word and the administration of your sacraments among us. We praise you also for using us to bring to others the good news that sinners are reconciled to you through the life and death of Jesus Christ. Now we ask you to give us courage and hope as we move day by day into the future. Keep safe all who assemble here in your name. Do not permit the evil one to pluck us out of your mighty hand. Strengthen us in the confidence that you have already overcome our greatest enemies, sin, death, and the devil. Increase our trust in your precious promise that you are with us always. Cause your Holy Spirit to work mightily in us and through us, so that we may grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Be with us as we strive to pass down to our children the truths that have been passed down to us. Continue to make our congregation a beacon of your light in this sin-darkened world. Grant that this celebration of your gracious activity in years and ages past be only the prelude to that far greater celebration we will enjoy forever in the joy and glory of the world to come. Still be our guard while troubles last, and our eternal home. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
Lord, lead us and pass me wrong.
fact that we ended with the postlude reminded me that I forgot to acknowledge that we have one more special guest with us this morning at the start of the service, and that is our guest organist today, Pastor Brian Gerlach, who is not only serving us at this morning's services, but also at this afternoon's service as well. We thank Pastor Gerlach for leading us in worship musically today. We also express our gratitude to... Sure. It was a little postlude to the recital that you gave us a year ago when we celebrated the 30th anniversary of our pipe organ last year. We also, again, extend our gratitude to Pastor Ron Waterstrat for serving as our presiding minister, for Professor Bill Tackmeyer for serving as our guest preacher and reminding us of how we have been founded on the Word of God for the past 50 years. If we thank the organist with applause, you might as well thank the preachers, too. So. A few announcements to share with you, especially regarding events later today. We invite you all to remain after this service right here in the sanctuary at 9:30 during the regular Bible class hour. We will have a presentation by two of our guest pastors today. Pastor Gerlach now serves as the director of the Wells Commission on Worship, and he, during the first half hour of the presentation, will share with us some of the work that he now does as director of the Commission on Worship, which is part of a group in our synod called the Congregation and Ministry Support Group, CMSG, one of those many Wells acronyms that you have to keep straight. Professor Tackmeyer now serves at WLS, or Wisconsin Lutheran Seminary, as professor of Old Testament and homiletics, and during the second half hour, from 10 to 10:30 of the Bible study hour, he will share with us some of the work that he does at Wisconsin Lutheran Seminary and information about our seminary. We invite you all to return this afternoon for the 4 o'clock anniversary service, to which our neighboring congregations have also been invited to attend. Our guest preacher at that service will be our district president of the Wells Arizona California District, Pastor John Buchholz, who's flying in probably as we speak from Tempe, Arizona. And our presiding minister will be Pastor Guy Marquardt, who's the circuit pastor, or the, if you will, the regional pastor of the pastors in this area. He serves our sister congregation, Christ Lutheran Church in Lodi. If you are bringing any food for the potluck this afternoon, we ask that you have it here no later than 3:30. 3:30, drop it off in the gym. We need it there early so that things can be arranged, and they can be arranged before the service starts so that those who are handling all those details can worship with us at the 4 o'clock service. So please bring any food that you have for the potluck by 3:30 this afternoon. One other announcement, not in the printed announcements for this week, has to do with Vacation Bible School. We are looking for a few volunteers who are crafty-minded. You're good with crafts. You're good with decorations. We're looking for a few volunteers to be able to help prepare the decorations that will be in the gym for Vacation Bible School. If you are able to assist with that, please either speak with Trish Peterson or Elaine Call. They would appreciate your help as we try to make the gym look appropriate for the Vacation Bible School that's advertised in the news and that will be coming up next month. Again, it's a pleasure to have all of you with us today. We extend a warm welcome to the many guests who joined us here at St. Mark's. If you are a guest from the neighborhood and we may have the opportunity to serve you with the gospel in the future, we would love to be able to do that. Please speak with myself or Pastor Schmidt after today's service or reach us at any point in the future. We would be happy to meet with you further and see if you can be part of the next 50 years here at St. Mark's Lutheran Church. Those are the announcements. You've already heard the postlude, so there is no postlude at this point. So please greet each other, and the ushers will dismiss you as normal. Have a great Sunday, and we hope to see you later this afternoon and also for the Bible study hour. Thank you.